Glory be to God, the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Traditionally, John the Baptist features in the Advent season. Not that he appears in our nativity scenes, in our crib scenes. He would have only been a baby himself. But what a baby. Even before he was born, he leapt in his mother's womb at the sound of Mary's voice, Luke tells us in chapter 1 and verse 41 of his gospel. We could say his prophetic ministry began 3 months before his birth. He was a Nazarite, we're told, set apart from the very beginning, from his birth. And as a Nazarite, he would have exercised himself in many different spiritual disciplines for a full 3 decades. That was unusual for a Nazarite, for normally the Nazarite vow was for a brief time. But for John the Baptist, as he became known, he was a Nazarite for all his life. We read that he went out to the desert. We don't know how old he was when he went out to the desert. We don't know the occasion for that departure. Perhaps his elderly parents had already passed away. Most likely that would have been the case. And he would have gone out to the desert. And there, in that very hostile environment, he was to learn from God. And his prophetic personality was to be established. Luke, as a historian, helps us understand the drama of John's appearance, with his camel hair robe, with his long hair, and with his voice declaring boldly for the nation to repent and to prepare themselves for the coming of Messiah. Luke sets the scene by framing it in the context of the political and religious leaders of the day, helping us to bring a dateline to that event. We know no less than 7 historical figures are used to establish the date itself. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, we read, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, Herod Tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip Tetrarch of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Licinius Tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the desert, verses 1 and 2. These names help us date the event to AD 27 to 29 or thereabouts. Even more, they establish for us a very dark political ambience of the Roman Palestinian government. All the civil names given here evoke an understanding of the wickedness and the intrigue and the infighting that is going on in the empire. Tiberius, Pilate, Herod, Philip, Licinius. And then the religious names, Annas and Caiaphas. Similarly, they project a degenerate priesthood. Annas had been high priest from AD 6 to 15, and he was followed by his 4 sons in succession, and eventually by his son-in-law, Caiaphas. The mention of the priesthood as one, I think, in come together, we don't fight. Well, except for who's going to say grace, because one of them is inclined, and I won't say which one, makes a very long grace, and the gravy gets cold. So we never want any say grace. I won't say which one it is, but you know, there's never really great friction amongst us. We're all credo Christians. We don't use titles like evangelical, Pentecostal, charismatic. Maybe in the past we did, but now we refer to ourselves as credo. And I think that's important, and that's why I like Christ John's book, Christ John Otto, because he's saying something very similar, but from the world of art, trying to bring Christian artists together. If you're a Christian artist, look up Christ John Otto, and you might find yourself having fellowship with like-minded people, using your art to reach people for Jesus. That's his vision. And that's our vision as a family. And that was John's vision, John the Baptist, to reach people for God's sake. John strides onto the scene, garbed in such kit that everyone and anyone could tell immediately, he's different. He's different. And he declares the counsel of God. When I think about John the Baptist and the ministry of the word and sacrament today, I wonder, is there really a great difference? Would it make a difference if Douglas stood before you this morning with a camel hair coat and a leather belt and an uncut head full of hair like that? With a beard down to his belt? He would stand out, wouldn't he? He would stand out. And what about the political intrigue and fighting? Is that still going on today? Has it ever changed? What about the ecclesiastical one? Is that changed? No, it's all still going on in the world today, and we need men like John the Baptist who are fearless in proclaiming the counsel of God, the whole gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The trouble is for many of us, not just ministers of word and sacrament, it can be a challenging thing in your environment, in a hostile environment, to proclaim the good news of Christ. Imagine God telling you that Messiah is coming and that you are the one he has chosen to prepare the way. We just sang that song, Make Way, Make Way. I can remember when that first came out. Graham Kendrick wrote that. And I was privileged to have Graham Kendrick as one of my worship leaders many years ago through the Ichthus Christian Fellowship. We went round Leyland singing that song. I don't know if they did it a Make Way in Dundee, did they? Yeah, to a run. And you would have stood out as you sang those songs, and that was the emphasis of the Make Way mission that was carried out all round the nation. It wasn't just making way with good songs. There were many good songs, and still there are many good songs being penned today or written today. But are they really presenting Jesus? The songs that we sing today and the ministry that we do today. So often I hear that we are called in what's known as the Great Commission to make Jesus known. But the question I would ask you today, is the commission still great? Does it really inspire you? Is it still encouraging you? Are you still prepared to make way? When John the Baptist heard that, he was ready. He was ready because for 3 decades he was in the desert being prepared. But God, I've already said this morning, is preparing you before you were even born, even conceived. God knew you. And through his Spirit, I believe God can equip you to witness and be a witness for him. But I'm sure it's a fearful thing for some of us to make Jesus known, to tell people about Jesus Christ, their Saviour. Maybe you might even ask of yourself, well, this is really for Douglas to do, and for Jim, and maybe the session members, but not me. Not me, but it is. You might ask, but why me? What credentials do I have? What training? I don't have a theological degree. I can tell you they don't really make a big difference when it comes to presenting the gospel. If anything, they're going to be a hindrance. But the truth be told, it's your testimony. It's your personal relationship with Jesus Christ that people want to hear. I think every Christian service, I don't know if I'd ever get away with this, should have a faith story where someone actually says what Jesus means to them personally. And we end up inspiring people with these wonderful stories of faith, having come through a tribulation or a trial, having been blessed, whatever. We should be thankful. And I think that's one good thing about Thanksgiving, because it takes the American people, hopefully, back to the idea that God has blessed them. But God blesses us in more ways than we can count, and these blessings are new every day. So, are we being prepared? Yeah. Do we feel fit for the task? No. No. Perhaps you might think, well, maybe if I get some expert help, someone that can help me promote Jesus, some advertising agency, you know, like, I don't know, the advertising agency that maybe did the adverts for Guinness. Do you ever see those adverts for the horses and the waves? They're very powerful adverts, aren't they? Don't like Guinness so much, but I like the adverts. They're inspiring. They're inspiring adverts. Maybe if somebody could make a billboard or a movie or an advert on the TV, wouldn't it be great if on our televisions, whether they be satellite or cable or streamed or whatever, there was an advert every now and again for the gospel of Christ? Wouldn't that be lovely? Instead of hedonism, instead of commercialism, instead of consumerism, wouldn't it be nice if there was something there for Christ, especially in Advent? Sadly, we don't seem to see that, but maybe if some advertising agency can be persuaded, it would let us off the hook, would it? Because God's called you. He's called me. He's not called the Sanchi and Sanchis. He picks ordinary people. Abraham, he was nothing to shout about. But God called him out of Ur of the Chaldees. And through him was to create a people of faith. He picked Moses, a discredited Jew, and even Egyptian, a stammerer, to represent him. He picked Peter, who stinked of fish and flew off the handle more often than not. And he picked Saul, who murdered Christians. And yet, he changed them. He transformed them through the Spirit. They were in him, and he in them. And through that, he was able to do something special. We are different. You are different. You are in Christ. And through you, God can do something very special this Advent. Through you just sharing the good news of Christ the Saviour coming into this world, something amazing can happen in someone's life. You know, I would love to get a Christian concert together for Christmas. Wouldn't it be great if we could persuade Bono to come to Dundee and set up a big Christian music event? Have the SNO play something? That would be wonderful. Have Scottish Opera maybe give a wee, but, you know, try and get everything, you know, all the lights dazzling,
man's in the woman.